Did you hear the wind shift during the night? That might have been the first half of 2016 coming to an end. We'll look at where we stand with jobs, stocks, and the economy at large. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. What do we have to show for the first half of this year now that we're in the second half? On Fridays, we like to consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
All right, July 1st, the second half of the year has begun, so I can look back and tell you the S&P 500 for the first half of 2016 up 2.7%, Dow up 2.9%. The last quarter, though, quarter two, was looking a little more meager. It wasn't down, but it wasn't up much.
It was a wild ride, but it looks like things may be getting better. And in fact, there's this funny thing that's been going on in the data where for 3 years in a row, we've started on a really weak footing. Last year and the year before, the economy reaccelerated. One possible explanation is that by the time we get to the end of the year, the Fed usually capitulates. Gee, we don't need to raise rates, but we're definitely raising rates next year. And people who are buying big ticket items like cars, you know, things you buy with credit, they end up getting them before the end of the year.
All right. So the world of interest rates, the world of stocks, many of us also live in the world of work. The job market's been pretty weak, especially in the second quarter that just ended.
That's the one place where we're kind of hoping we may see a real improvement in the second half of the year. If it does happen, it better happen quickly, though, because it has been so slow in the last 2 or 3 months that if we don't see a reacceleration, then I think we have to start worrying about whether this expansion is finally coming to an end.
The election's in the fourth quarter, but a lot of the campaign now is going to play out in what remains of the third quarter. We'll see how markets react to that. Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you very much.
You're welcome, David.
Unnamed sources cited in today's Wall Street Journal suggest Apple is in talks to buy Tidal, the music streaming service run by rapper and producer Jay-Z. From our desk at OPB, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is looking into this. So Tidal has about 4 million paid subscribers. Apple Music's got 15 million. Spotify, 30 million. What would be the attraction?
In a word, I guess two words actually, but only four letters, Jay-Z. Jay-Z has made Tidal the most artist-friendly of the music industry's new distribution platforms, and Apple wants to be the go-to outlet for artists. Tidal has done exclusive album releases with Rihanna, Kanye West, and with Beyoncé, who's married to Jay-Z. It helps artists with promotion, and it gives them more control, reportedly letting them tweak their songs after they go live. Tidal has had some management troubles. It's had three CEOs in the last year. And if a deal does happen, it's not going to cost Apple anything like the $3 billion that it paid for Beats. Beats is rapper Dr. Dre's fancy headphone business. Plus, there's this. Tidal is the only place you can stream Prince, who trusted Jay-Z exclusively with his music catalog.
Mitchell, thank you. The man set to be the Republican nominee, Donald Trump, has drawn criticism from what is typically a powerful GOP supporter, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's a lot about trade, and that has turned into public sparring in recent days, including barbed tweets from the campaign trail. Here's Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson.
Criticizing trade deals is a central part of Trump's platform. The chamber has countered that his trade policies would throw the country back into recession. Trump's very against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The chamber is for it.
If he had a crystal ball and somebody said, oh, by the way, in the 2016 election, the U.S. chamber is going to take issue with the Republican nominee, you would have laughed. You'd have said, well, obviously that's not going to happen. And it never happens.
Steve Jarding, a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, says typically the chamber's support for a GOP candidate is a given. But it usually focuses its resources down ballot, says Tony Fratto, a partner at Hamilton Place Strategies.
The chamber usually plays a fairly large role in congressional and Senate races, but not very often a big role in presidential elections. It actually stepped out of its normal role to be so vocal with Donald Trump.
He says that makes the move all the more noteworthy and potentially damaging to Trump. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. The holiday getaway is well underway, with warnings of persistently long lines at airport security, with 2.5 million coming through in a day. After a roar of complaints this spring, officials are trying to manage some of this better, Marketplace's Rima Krace reports.
Travelers still face long lines at the airport, says Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly. Why?
It's simple math. You have more people flying, and you have actually slightly fewer screeners now than you had a year earlier.
The Transportation Security Administration is making some short-term fixes.
Working overtime, scheduling people better.
And this year, Congress allowed the TSA to use $34 million to hire nearly 800 new screeners.
We're also seeing some part-time employees move to full-time, which will definitely help.
Vaughn Jennings of the trade group Airlines for America says carriers are also hiring contract workers for non-security roles.
Like moving bins, staffing the exit lanes.
You know, make sure people keep it moving. In total, airlines have spent more than $50 million to help cut the lines. So will any of this mean a better airport experience this weekend?
My guess will be that it won't be quite as bad as Memorial Day.
But it probably won't be fun either, Kaplan says. I'm Rima Krace for Marketplace.
We also have a piece today from Panama City about the country's response to those 11 million leaked documents of offshore accounts. In this piece, Panama's vice minister of the economy challenges me to go downstairs to the bank right below and just try to open an account as a foreigner. It would be hard without perfect documentation, is his point. Of course, the Ministry of Finance is right upstairs. If you missed that coverage on the air, it's at marketplace.org with the rest of our Panama Canal peak trade coverage, transparency coverage, wealth and poverty coverage. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer, Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.